At the end of the day, I seen a problem. The problem was there's no place for our kids to be outside of school. So I've always thought about problems is if you're going to complain about it, you have to offer some type of solution.
Yes.
So this was I knew it was going to be a brutal process, but I told myself I identified the problem and I wasn't going to leave until I created a solution. So that's what I did.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. This is conversation number 115, and I'm absolutely excited that you're here with me for yet another amazing episode. You know, don't get me wrong when I'm about to say what I'm about to say, but this was one of my favorites, and I just think that speaks so much for every single guest on here because every single guest impacts me in such a special and such a powerful way. It just ignites me, reignites me to continue creating podcasts day in and day out, and it just helps me give me that passion and that fuel to constantly create. So thank you to every one of my guests and every one of the listeners. My guest today is none other than Dylan Cooper. He's a former vet, and equally importantly, he is a teacher. He is a teacher that has gone above and beyond the call of duty in so many ways. His story blew me out of the water when a friend recommended his page. I checked it out, saw what he's doing in his small town in Oklahoma, and it's so off the script, and his story is so unbelievable. And we get into that, like this crescendo into the podcast, this slow crescendo of just amazing and more amazing information. And then by the end, my mind is just blown, absolutely blown. And then once again, he's yet another guest that spent like 30, 40 minutes with me post-conversation just talking about incredible things. And it goes to show you that when you have such a passion burning inside you and that you cease to listen to all the noise, all the chatter that says you can't do something, you go out there and you do it regardless of all that noise saying you can't do it. And you say to the world and the universe how much and how bad you want it, and you show it by proof of action, not just by saying. You can create incredible things, things that you never thought imaginable, things that people thought were never imaginable, and you meet and connect with people that you never thought you would meet. Dylan and I connected tonight because of somebody else knowing that we both had this passion burning deep within us to connect and help other people. So I thank you to everybody that's ever suggested somebody to be on the podcast because of these reasons. This is one of my favorite podcasts now, and I'm going to continue probably saying that because I have such incredible guests. So remember, you can find this conversation and all the other contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast, and you can find yours truly on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. So without further ado, oh, real quick spoiler alert, I'm giving the rest of my podcast shirts to Dylan and his organizations that you learn about in this podcast. So I am fresh sold out of t-shirts. I'm sorry, stand by, but Dylan, you're getting the rest of these shirts, and I'm so excited to be able to donate it to the kids that we're about to talk about in this episode. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, Create Your Career.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. Love it. Excited to be here. It's an honor.
I'm always excited to be here, man. I'm always, always excited to be here, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So one of my friends turned me on to your profile and to the person that is you, and then I started like looking at all your content and everything that you're involved in, and I was like, oh man, like I gotta get this guy on here. I want to learn more about him. So I was really excited to see that. Can you please tell me more about like who you are and what you're doing right now? And then for those of us that don't know you, and then I'd love to get into more of some other stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So I currently teach and coach full time here in Oklahoma. If anybody knows anything about the state of the education system in Oklahoma, if you research it, we're pretty much dead last when it comes to teacher pay and compensation. So needless to say, I'm not a rich man. This is my fourth year doing this full time. I just started at a new school. It's a charter school.
Okay.
And I like it because it's geared towards kids that are wanting to go to college. So basically, this school cuts 4 years into two.
Oh, wow.
And when kids graduate with their diploma, they also graduate with their associates from a college.
Wow. Okay.
Which is pretty cool. But in addition to teaching and coaching, I also have my own outreach center. And basically what we do there is, well, for one, we just try to give kids an alternative to the streets and the drugs. Where my facility is located, I think our poverty rate is right around 40%. Wow. So we have a lot of kids that come from broken homes and just bad environments and stuff like that. But the biggest downfall of being in a small town is the lack of resources for kids outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest issue I see was once kids get out of school, they don't really have anywhere to be. So my solution was to create my own outreach center.
I love that.
I was excited about it. I wasn't too happy about it because I knew how bad the process was going to suck.
Yeah.
But I knew the impact it was going to have on kids. So I just kind of, just put my nose to the grindstone and just made it happen.
Dude, I love that.
So, teacher and coach full time, coaching basketball. I'm a powerlifting coach. Teaching a little bit of everything, career, psychology, history, leadership, stuff like that. And then I have my outreach center going too, so stay pretty busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're a busy man. And I love all of that. And I want to take like 60 seconds to read your most latest Instagram post for people that don't follow you on Instagram, because it meant that much to me when I read it today. So I just wanted to say, like, I could literally pick any of your posts on Instagram. They're written really well, and they align with a lot of the things that I value in this life. So that's why I wanted to take some time out of our episode today to say it. But it said, stop getting all those tattoos. You won't be able to get a job. People are going to constantly judge you. Is that what you want? Don't go into teaching and coaching. You're going to stay broke. You have a good paying job. What's the point in leaving? Don't start your own nonprofit. It's way too much work. Do you really want to be stressed out all the time? Don't try and establish your own outreach center. It's too expensive and it won't work here in Wauwoka. Don't know how to pronounce that. Do you honestly think the kids would buy in anyways? Don't teach at a new charter school. You will hate it. Why would you ever want to teach there anyways? These are all the things I've been asked and criticized about. I'm sure a lot of you can relate. Don't let people get you down and tell you what you should do with your life. It's all in your hands. Don't get discouraged. Stay true to who you are. So here's my status update. I'm getting all those tattoos and I have a great job. I went ahead and started that nonprofit. It's doing great. I established that outreach center. The kids love it and it's continually growing. I ended up teaching at a new charter school. It's going great and I look forward to going to work every day. Like, I'm throwing in the towel right now. Like, this is me talking now, Chris talking. And dude, like, I read that and I'm like, this is the reason I started a podcast. Like, I'm like looking at this and then I started like reflecting in my own life and I was like, I'm a college dropout. Everybody told me I'm not going to get a good job after the Navy. Proved them all wrong. Like, best pay, like, unbelievable. And I know it's not all about the money, but at the same time, I was just like, you mother effers told me I couldn't do it. And here I am and I'm just like grinding. And then all this other stuff, like, and what I love about your story is that you're going out, like, all this shit is not just for you. It's for other people. And it's for people that really need it. So I wanted to take the time to read that because I think it's super powerful and I love everything about it. It's like people telling you can't do it and you do it. People telling you what you're not going to like and what you are going to like. Like, are you kidding me, dude? So I just wanted to say, like, I really love that about you. Tell me about your desire to do all of this.
I think my mom and dad play a pretty big role in me developing into who I am today. My mom, she's a nurse, she's an RN.
Nice.
Man, I've seen her have different titles at different hospitals, like director of nursing and stuff like that. And I remember when I was younger going to the hospital, she would literally be mopping, taking the trash out, And I'd always be like, why are you doing that? Like, you run this place. And she'd always be like, well, I mean, I'm no more important than the janitor is. So that's kind of the mindset that my mom instilled in me at a young age.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, just growing up in that small town where I had a lot of friends that really didn't have a family, I would always see, like, my mom and dad take kids in and let them stay with us. So really, it was just something my mom and dad instilled at me just at a really young age. You know?
Yeah.
It was pretty much, like, expected of me. And
yeah.
then,
okay.
not only that, my mom just always held me to a really high standard. And there was a lot of times I found it really annoying and it pissed me off. But now when I'm older, I kind
right?
of reflect back on it. Like, I remember when I finally got into college and I got my associate's degree and I called my mom, hey, I'm going to get my associate's degree. Good. When are you starting your bachelor's? What? You can't just say, like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you got your associate. So immediately I was like, damn it, I got to get my bachelor's. And then same thing, like, oh, hey, I'm graduating with my bachelor's. Have you looked into, like, master programs yet? And it's like, Jesus, woman, like, you were just full throttle. But as a teacher now, I see kids that don't have that support system. Like, they don't have anyone that's, like,
yeah,
pushing
yeah.
them. So I kind of take the role of, you know, what my mom did with me to a lot of my kids, because a lot of them don't have anyone at home, like, pushing them, you know, to really go forward with life. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. No, I love that answer. I think it's really good. I think it's really, really important how we're raised. I think that is just... I think it really just sets us up for success or failure. And we don't have a lot of choice in the matter, if at all, when we're growing up. I mean, from the time we're literally babies, like, and I'm speaking as a father of a 9-month-old, and I know, like, she has no choice
yeah.
in the way we're raising her at all. You know, she
yeah.
she does nothing,
yeah.
like, you know? So, like, from, and she's watching everything I do already, and she's 9 months old, and it just blows me away. And I'm like, wow, I really have to, like, watch what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, what I'm saying, all this other stuff. And so if you take a kid that's raised in a bad situation, and then, you know, they become a toddler, they become a kid, they become a teenager, and then they start growing up, and if they don't have that support, you're absolutely right. So for me, it's cool to see that, you know, you're jumping in there. Because how old are the kids that you're involved with?
So the majority of them are at, like, the high school level.
Okay.
But I always had younger kids show up.
Yeah.
You know, it could be 10 to 12-year-olds. Man, like I said, being in a town, there's not a lot of resources.
Yeah.
I keep busy with just about any age group. The high school I was at, there was days I wasn't even in class teaching because I was having to help with so many, like, other issues that didn't even have to do the high school, just because there'd be weeks where we make 6 to 7 DHS reports from kids getting beat on or
mm-hmm.
kids telling us what's going on at home. So that's really what led me to start this outreach center to begin with. Cause it's like, at the end of the day, our school is home for a lot of kids. Like, it's their safe place to be.
Yeah.
But the problem is, once school's out, where do those kids go?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the majority of the kids that's getting beat on or just getting mistreated, those kids go right back to that environment after school.
Yeah.
So as a teacher, I was like, well, for one, these kids can't focus on education. And then just as a veteran and a human that likes to, you know, take care of people, I was like, we have to offer these kids something outside of school. And until we do that, they're never going to be successful in school because they have
mm-hmm.
too much to stress about.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the school board. I brought up all the statistics, you know, hey, we don't have an outreach center. We don't have any resources. Like, we don't have a movie theater. We don't have a gym. Like,
oh,
we,
wow.
these kids have
wow.
nothing. So I was like, why haven't we started an outreach center or something like that?
Yeah.
And the response I got was, Well, it's just too complicated, and it's just kind of the way it's always been.
Such a typical answer. Like,
so me being the strong-minded individual I am, I was like, well, if y'all don't want to do it, I'll do it. I'll start an outreach center. And then I was like, damn it. Now I got to do it because all these people just heard me say it.
Yeah, man.
And my mom, being, you know, my biggest supporter, but my biggest critic, you know, she was for it. And she's like, Dylan, like, you're a damn teacher. You don't make any money. Like, you're already busy. Like, how are you even going to do this? And then I was, she was like, why would you even like want to do this? And then I'm like, I'm literally this way because of you. And she's like, yeah, you're right. And I was like, okay, I guess I gotta figure it out. So yeah. So yeah, man, that's really, at the end of the day, I seen a problem. The problem was there's no place for our kids to be outside of school. So I've always thought about problems is, if you're going to complain about it, you have to offer some type of solution.
Yes.
So this was
yes.
My
I love that.
I knew it was going to be a brutal process, but I told myself I identified the problem and I wasn't going to leave until I created a solution. So that's what I did.
Yeah, Dylan, that's so good, man. I love that. I wish more people applied that. And there's so many good things to take out of this podcast already. Yeah, I totally agree with, if there's an issue, don't complain about it. That's probably one of the worst things, if you just perpetually complain about something and then never do something about it. I'm like, if you complain about it, complaining is good. It's like a metric to analyze if something's wrong. But then once you identify that there's an issue there because you've complained about it, then do something about it. Like, I had this discussion actually with a friend of mine a while back in regard to that. So I want people to understand, like, complaining identifies things, but then you have to act on it and then fix it, and you can't go on and on and on and complain about it. And I love that. And what I love about creating this outreach center for kids is you're right. Like, I think about myself now, I think about myself at any point in my life, and like, my mind is always going. So if I don't have something to do, I would get bored. And me, bored is a really bad thing. Like, now I'm never bored. Like, I'm doing I work, yeah. I have the podcast, I have the kid, like I was telling you about. So I know, like, and what I'm getting at is these kids, they go into school and then they leave school. If you don't have anything to do anywhere, like, you can only do so much. That's a good looking cat, by the way. You only have so much you can do, right? With not having anything or any options to go do stuff, you know, like, I don't know how the town is there, but like, I'm thinking of my hometown, it was small too, but you need things for kids to do. So it's really cool that you did that. And this podcast is the Christoph Lewis podcast, Create Your Career. So you said it in the beginning of the podcast, you said you created your own center, then you just said it again, you created your own center. And I love that you're like, create. You identify, then you create, you identify, you problem solve. Then people are telling you again, like, not only, because it's like, it's so easy for us to talk about it. Like, oh yeah, I saw a problem, identified it, and I did something about it. But dude, when everybody is telling you that you can't do it, or you shouldn't waste your time, or you're already, like you said, not making enough money, like, those thoughts are real, man. You know, that's real life. And it, like, it's so easy to talk about, like I said, but I'm thinking about it now as I'm talking to you, and I'm like, how many times in our lives do we get that in some variation, in some form, and we just stop? You know what I'm saying? So you're going out there and you're doing it because you're right. These kids, you can't concentrate during school if you're thinking about all the stuff after school. So I do love that you said that out here. I really do. And I really like asking about, like, your passion to help other people. But I think we already kind of answered that already. I think a lot from your mom and dad, and then just seeing the world unfold around you and then wanting to do something about it. Would you agree that's probably the reason why you're so passionate about helping people?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 100%. And it's, like you said, going back to people identifying problems, I think the main thing is people can, it's easy to identify a problem, but it, when it gets challenging to offer the solution, there's not going to be too many people like willing to do it, because let's be honest, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of sacrifice. Yeah. And so it comes down to how serious you are about providing the solution. So with me, it was just something I knew it needed to be done. So I just focused all of my attention and efforts on that solution until I brought it to life. And it was a brutal process, to say the least, but I would do it again in a heartbeat. I wouldn't want to, but I would for sure.
Well, that's a good point that you wouldn't want to, because sometimes, like, we know good things have to be done, and it's not always going to be easy, and rarely is it ever easy. Like, all the career transitions that I've done, and I did want to note, again, I want to specifically pull out a piece of your Instagram post that said, you left a good job. Now, I don't know what that is, but that doesn't necessarily matter. What matters is that you left that to do this, and I think that's super important. I love preaching about that. So many times in my life, people told me I couldn't do what I enjoyed and, you know, just enjoy something, get paid for it, or all those things that are concurrent with that. I love that.
Yeah. So I was working for the state at a juvenile center as a counselor, and I was making probably close to twice the amount of what I'm making now.
Wow.
So that's a pretty big pay cut.
Yeah.
But working at that facility, I seen kids being treated like they were just numbers. So it was a moral thing for me. Like, I was there for the kid. I knew I was helping them. But at the end of the day, the way it was set up, it just didn't mesh with my morals, you know?
Sure.
Like, I'd go home every day, and I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. I mean, I was fighting for my kid, but the overall mission, the people involved, like, I just hated the fact that, like, I considered them, like, my coworkers.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I just, it was like a moral thing. I didn't like anything about it. I mean, the money was good. I was having a good impact on a lot of kids, but that facility was just bad for the kid, and it's just something that I couldn't be a part of any longer.
Okay.
So I got offered a job as a teacher and coach, and my mom was the first one that's like, you're going to starve to death. They don't get paid. Because literally, if you look it up, Oklahoma's dead last in everything when it comes to funding. I mean, it's insane. So my mom was the first one that was like, you're crazy. Like, put your education in use. Like, don't go broke. Like, do. And I was like, Mom, I think, like, I could really be a good teacher because, you know, I've lived a little bit. I can speak live versus just, you know, the textbook. And then, of course, you brought up my tattoos. Of course, we're in the Bible Belt, and I have tattoos all over. So I applied to this job online, and then they called me, and they was like, hey, we're really interested in you, like, do-do-do-do-do. And I was like, that's awesome, but I have tattoos. And I remember a lady, she was like, oh, that's fine, we have a teacher with a rose on her arm and this and that. And I'm like, oh shit, they have
a rose on her arm.
So I was like, okay. Well, I was like, cool, y'all cool with it? And I remember I showed up, and, you know, this is like small town Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of people. Yeah. You know, it's not like the East and West Coast. So the secretary lady looked at me like, is this dude just like, is he part of like the prison work system? Like, what is this guy doing there? So I was like, hey, I'm here for my interview. And you could tell she was like, no, you're not. So I go in and meet the principal, and he was like, you are lying. Like, you have tattoos all over. And I could tell he was kind of hesitant, but once I talked to him more and see my resume and all that, he was like, yeah, I think this is going to be a good fit. So that's when I officially started my journey of teaching and coaching.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm glad there wasn't like something official in any kind of school documentation that said they couldn't, because I know there's certain jobs that say you can't look a certain way, which is complete and utter bullshit. Like, I bet a lot of people don't know, like, my entire back is like, I'm pretty bare here, but my entire back is covered, you know, from all the way down, and like all that other stuff. And like, not to say like you can't see that, but I'm just saying, like, you don't know. And does that say anything about me? Absolutely not. Does that say anything about you? Absolutely not. And like, look at the initiative that you're taking. And I do want to say, most people can barely survive off of what they're making now, never mind having their income. Like, that is incredible. But I think is the epitome of the saying of there is where there is a will, there is a way. And that is a saying for a reason.
It took me an entire year to raise the money to buy this building. And the building's pretty big. 7,000 square foot. It's right downtown. I like it because kids can get to it.
Okay.
Everyone can get there. And it's an older building, but it's two stories. The layout was perfect. So my first mission was to find a building that I think would work. And if you've seen my pictures of it before, it was a complete...
I have, and it's crazy.
God. It makes me want to throw
up. It looks like it got burnt down or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, my first step was obviously find the building, because as far as like creating the curriculum and working with the kids, like I had the education and the experience. Like for me, essentially, I wanted to create my own school outside of school.
Okay.
Because my view on the education system is completely different than like the majority of teachers.
I want to hear more about that then in that case.
Here's my thing when it comes to the school systems. As soon as kids are put in the school system, they're pretty much micromanaged the entire time until they graduate high school. So a big majority of kids graduate high school without facing any type of mental adversity at all. They're told like what to do, how to do it. Their teachers, parents rescue them when they mess something up. But me and you both know that's not how it works in life. Like, life doesn't give a shit who your parents are. It's not going to tell you to pay your bills. It's not going to tell you to wake up. So, with me, the way I run my facility is just totally different from the schools, you know? I'm all about accountability. If kids are a minute late, they already know they're not getting in the door. If they're late two times, they know they're not welcome back. And a lot of people are like, that shit is way too extreme. But for me, I'm like, life is too extreme, and I want these kids to be successful in life, so mm-hmm. I'm not worried about it. But since I've got it up and going, man, we've only lost two kids from that type of stuff. So what we're doing is working. Kids are staying involved down there, but I just kind of reverse engineered when it came to running it, you know, because okay. Like anything else, as soon as I got it up and going, people were telling me what I needed to do and this and that. But
of course.
Yeah, I found a building. They were asking $38,000 for it. If you see how old it was, you're like, what? Why would you pay that much? I told them I was a teacher. There's no way in hell I could do $38,000 cash. So we came to an agreement, and I was like, okay, now I have to get this X amount in cash so I can buy this building. So I went to all the businesses around here. Of course, they were like, oh, here's $50, here's $100. I'm like, this isn't going to work because, you know, just small towns, they're not subject to change. They're like, and then, as you know, doing a business, people usually won't invest in the vision. Like, they'll invest in the final product. So for me, I had this blueprint, cool pictures and everything. Here's what it's going to be. Okay, well, let us know when it's up and going. It sounds awesome. Let us know. I'm like, I can't get it up and going unless... So literally, man, I spent an entire year calling every company I know.
Wow.
Doing every fundraising event that I could. Through Facebook, through our website, just everything. So after 10 months, I raised the money in full to buy it, and then I officially bought the building. But I'm glad I took that time because I didn't eat any debt. So I don't have rent or a mortgage or anything like that. There's no board of directors telling me how to run it. Like, my name is on the deed, so it's officially my place. But the problem is, once I bought the building, that final day, I had $20 left in my bank account.
Nice.
Because I had to take, I didn't know anything about closing on a building, you know. I'm a single bachelor, so I don't know anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The day I was, so like literally the day I was closing, I ended up buying the building for $15,000. So the final day, I had all the money. I was still short. Called my grandma and let her know. She said, oh, yeah, I'll give you $100, da, da, da. And then I dumped what I had left, and then I officially bought the building. And
nice.
I was broke, but I was happy because it was like, dude, this is a huge step for me.
Yeah, man.
But on the outside looking in, everyone's like, you're a dumbass. You just bought this big, ginormous, ran-down building. So I had the keys. I went in the building. It was a cool moment. And then I realized, shit, what am I going to do now? Like, I don't really know what I'm doing. But then another part of me is like, well, shit, just figure that out, you know? So I started submitting for grants. Of course, people tell me, you're not going to get a big grant because this and that. And I ended up getting one from Wells Fargo for $25,000.
Wow. Okay.
And then I hired a bunch.
Now you're cooking, dude.
And then I hired a bunch of my students to help me with tearing down the old ceiling and getting everything up and going. So I literally started this outreach center with me and a bunch of students.
This is so cool, man. This is so cool. This is such a cool story. Super cool.
The cool thing is all the kids that are in the pictures and videos of us working out, they're the same ones in the pictures from like a year ago. Like,
how cool
taking
is that?
Down the tile, like working.
That's
got to
mean that means so much to me. Hearing the story, I can't imagine the emotions just pouring out of all of you guys that are involved in like finally like working out there. It's got to feel like the best thing in the world. It's got to be.
So, yeah, so my favorite story about this whole process is if you look in those Instagram photos, you'll see all the rusted tile we had in our ceiling.
Okay.
It was 100 years old. Our building was built in, like, 1890. So I had to take all this ceiling tile out that was nailed in. And I called a company, and they wanted $10,000 for them to come, like, rip it out.
Okay.
And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So I was in school, I gathered a bunch of students, and I was like, hey, y'all want to make some extra money? And they're like, yeah, what do we got to do? And I was like, you know, it's some easy shit. And then they got there, they're like, damn, this isn't easy at all. I was like, look, I'll pay you this amount per hour, I'll supply all the energy drinks, and I'll give you a bonus if all of this is done by Sunday. So they start on Monday. And they're like, okay. I was like, gotta be done by Sunday. And they was like, okay. So at this point, we had no electricity. We had no running water.
Wow.
You know, you couldn't work after dark. So I left on that Saturday, and they still weren't done. So, yeah, so I'm thinking, yes, they're not going to get the bonus. So I'm leaving Saturday night. I give them money to eat on, and I go home. Well, about 2 a.m., this cop calls me. And he goes, hey, is there anyone inside your building? And I'm like, no, there shouldn't be. Why? And he's like, I think someone's in there, like, stealing a bunch of stuff. And I was like, why? And he's like, there's a bunch of lights in there and stuff. So we get there, and my kid took that money, went to the dollar store, and bought some headlamps. So
get the hell out of here, dude. The money that you gave him for food?
Yes, and I was
love
like,
that. Those are some smart kids.
I was so pissed. I was like, I gotta give them a bonus, but I'm super excited that they took the initiative. So I still have the photo of them up on these scaffolding in the pitch dark with these headlamps, like getting after it. So
that's
for me,
badass.
Yeah. So for me, I love everything about our facility now because I can tell you every step of the journey.
Yeah.
You know, going to get the flooring, going and hustling the equipment, putting the lights in. Like, my kids were there like the entire step of the way. And now a few of those kids are in like active duty. A few of them are in college. So it's just really cool to reflect on now. But
yeah.
Those two years, the year of raising the money and then 2 years of just working on it, it sucked. I mean, I had no social life. I had no extra money to do anything. I just literally focused my entire life into that facility. And like you said, some people didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
They would come in as we was working on it, and they'd be like, oh, dude, this place is a wreck, and just talk shit.
Yeah.
And now we have so many people, oh, can we come in? Can we work out? Can we do this? Like,
Isn't that how it is?
Yeah, but, and it's crazy because my kids invested in my vision.
That's so cool. And I love that.
I really learned a lot of lessons from it too as a teacher. That, you know, I tell teachers all the time, you need to teach with your actions, not your words. Like, no kid's going to follow someone that's a piece of shit outside of school.
Yeah.
So when my kids see me really sacrificing and grinding it out to get it up going for them, I got the full investment back from them. So anytime I need any, I mean, right now they're at my facility right now working out, and they have the key to it. I have two team leaders that are in charge. I'm basically like the janitor that gets to work out every once in a while. Okay. But that's how I wanted it to be. You know, I wanted it to be their own place, but I wanted them to teach.
Yeah,
I wanted to teach them the discipline to what they. Yeah, so they could understand the importance of the accountability. And a lot of people are like, you're crazy, they're going to let that play. And I'm like, no, it's the opposite, man. Like, if you go in there and you don't wipe your feet off, they will cut your ass out.
That's because they pretty much own it. Dude, there's so many good lessons in here for
them. And I was like, that's exactly what I wanted. Because, man, those dudes pretty much built that place with me, and I wanted them to have pride in it. So
yeah,
it was just that ripple effect, you know?
Yeah, I do know. There's so many good life lessons in there. I love everything, like everything about that. Like, that is just so. If you're listening to this episode, I have this like perpetual smile on my face, because you are the epitome of what I've tried to do here. I want to highlight people that have gone out there. You've said it, you know, create your own center. And the way you've created it has been not easy, to say the least. But the way I'm trying to articulate this, if you didn't just go by like this place, you worked hard for it despite the odds. It took years. So I want people to realize that this, like, your journey that and your story that you just shared over this 3-year period is, it's your own, take your own life right now. You listening, take this, your own version of this. Somebody or many people saying you can't do something, and it's you have no end in sight potentially. You maybe have no finances in sight. You have a lot of haters. You have a lot of people in your life that just simply don't believe in your vision, but you know what your vision is. And then when you are slowly getting people to get involved in your vision, and then it's just such a beautiful thing. And that's the best way I can describe it.
Man, there were so many days I would wake up just like totally defeated, you know, like any other person that starts a, you know, a podcast or business. I'd wake up and I'd just be like, shit, I just don't know if I can do this. So what I would do is early in the morning, on my way to work, I would drive by that building.
Okay.
I would do this before I bought it, even after I bought it. I would drive by it, I see it with no electricity, no kids in there, and it just, my subconscious would take over and be like,
that's a good idea.
You're going to drive by there one day, and you're going to see kids in there at 5:30 a.m. getting after it. And now that's what I see every morning when I drive by it.
That is so cool. That's like a real life vision board, you know?
Yeah, because literally, man, our weight room at our school was horrible. And every day my kids would be like, damn, I wish we had our own place. And I'm like, shit, I got to stay up later tonight, send out more emails. Because it's like I tell people, if your mission is for a good reason, you got to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm doing this for my kids. And I've worked with some great kids. I have kids that have good parents. I have kids that have no parents. So for me, it was like, look, dude, you got to put your fucking feelings aside and handle this shit.
Yeah.
Because nobody else is going to do this at any point. Like, nobody's going to come after you and do it. Nobody's going to do it for. It literally came down to, if not me, then who, you know? So
yeah.
I just sucked it up and did
Hell yeah,
it. But
yeah, man, I love it.
I love
everything about that.
Yeah. Like I said, man, it's not the fanciest place, but it's got a roof. It's got electricity, running water.
No, don't sell yourself short. I'm huge on that, too. Don't sell yourself short. What you've done is nothing short of incredible, and I truly do mean it when I say it. I love everything about it, and I'm so, so inspired by hearing your story. I knew about it a little bit. That was it. Like, I could kind of see it, but hearing the entire story and hearing it from your own words, like,
in your own voice is a lot different. So I can't wait for people to hear this and to hear more about your story. But for those of the people that want to follow you and see everything that you're doing, your websites, the outreach, everything, and your profiles, how can they find you in the websites?
So my nonprofit's website is nosurrenderinc.com. And this was a nonprofit I started my first year teaching. This nonprofit actually has nothing to do with my facility. I started a nonprofit to have an impact on mental health, suicide, stuff like that. So I started that. And then my first year teaching, I realized I was going to have to start an outreach center too. Okay. So what I did is I used the nonprofit to spearhead the mission. I have a 501c3. I have all that, okay. So I could use that to leverage. So, yeah, that's our website, nosurrenderinc.com. And my Instagram is thetattooedteacher_87, I think. Damn, I don't even know my own Instagram handle. I don't know. Yeah, Facebook is Dylan Cooper.
All right, Dylan, I really appreciate your time. And I mean, I know it's like, I say it a lot, but it's always so true. Like, I know your time is so precious and my time is precious too. And it's just so cool to see how you've spent your time and how you've dedicated literally so much of your life to this. And I know you're going to continue to do that. And it's like, it's literally like the only way that I know you're going to continue to live your life. Like, it's so easy to see and it's so cool to see. So I really appreciate your time and everything you're doing, man. Keep on crushing it. I mean, I know I don't need to tell you, but keep on crushing it.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. You know, I was having a conversation with my kids the other day about, they were like, how do we know what we're supposed to do in life? You know, because they're about to graduate. And I'm like, you don't. You just have to go out there and like fail at a bunch of stuff and try a bunch of stuff. And I'm really big on, you know, divine order. I think the universe will align you with where you're supposed to be. But people have this misconception that it's going to be easy and convenient. But me and you both know, like, that's not the case. Like, for me, I had to go through a breakup. I had to go back to college. I had to go to college again. I had to get this certification. I had to leave this certain job, I had to become a teacher, I had to start this dinner. Like, the world put me through the grinder, but I listened and I knew where I was supposed to be. And I'm an advocate of once you pay your dues and the universe knows you're in sync, it's eventually going to reward you. And for me, conversations like this kind of validates it, because if I would have went through all that, me and you would have never connected and you wouldn't be having this conversation.
Damn
right,
right about that. So, absolutely right.
So for me, I've always been a deep thinker like that. Some people are like, dude, you're a damn hippie. Like, you think too deep. But
no, man.
I'm all about like, hey, the universe put this outreach center in my vision. And now I'm going to bring it to life. It's going to suck, but it's going to offer me so much fulfillment and passion. Like, it's going to be worth it. Like, it's going to make me happy. And, you know, 2 or 3 years of obstacles, but the idea of knowing what it was going to result in, like, outweighed all the bullcrap. So
yeah,
I'm glad I fought through it all.
All right, Dylan, well, have a great rest of your night, and I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, thanks for having me, man.
See ya.